Let's jump into our message tonight. I'm really excited about it. If you are new with us tonight, we've been going through a series that I've titled Ghosts, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is, even for people who have lots of church experience, can be a mystery. And I mean, at some levels, it really is that, like I just said, the God of all creation decides to come and live in us and be in that intimate relationship with us. That's mysterious, isn't it? And it's not something that you can fully wrap your mind around, that that's what he's chosen. And that's the type of relationship. But it's something that we have to get to a place that we accept it. Maybe we don't fully understand it. Maybe we don't fully grasp it, but we need to fully accept it. And we need to pursue it, not just accept it on an intellectual level, but we need to set our lives towards trying to figure out and letting God show us why he wants this kind of relationship with us, why he chose to let his son come and die on the cross so that we could be restored, we could be reconciled with our creator, that not just reconciled to our creator, but then he turned around and says, call me father, and you're my child, and you're adopted in my family, and you have full rights to that, and part of that is my spirit living in you and everything that comes with that. And so we've been looking at that Jesus, he didn't just forgive us of our sins, but he sanctified us. He cleansed us. He made us holy, and we no longer have to go to the temple, and we no longer have to have a priest represent us in God's presence. And in fact, the opposite, God's presence has come, and he's dwelling in us. And then even a bigger idea around that, and we haven't even really scratched the surface of it, we're going to start to tonight, is we then have the great responsibility, and not just responsibility, but opportunity of carrying that presence into the world, into dark places. You know, we in essence, if you understand about the Old Testament and the system of relationship that God had with Israel, we become like the Ark of the Covenant that represented God's presence. And wherever it went, there they knew that was God's presence. And we become that carrier, that Ark to take the Holy Spirit of God into the world and to people who desperately need what comes with God's presence. Freedom, restoration, light, love. And tonight I want to begin to talk about how that looks for us. And it's not as complicated as you might think. You see, that's all been the amazing thing for me as I have pursued a deeper understanding of the relationship that God wants with us, and kind of try to put my understanding aside and turn and say, God, replace, you know, how I view things with how you see things. And I believe the more that I've done that, the more I found out is that, you know, it's not as complex as I tend to make it. In fact, it's really a simple concept, this idea of us carrying God's Holy Spirit and his presence into the world, and then it does powerful things. It brings changes. It's really a simple concept. You ready for it? We love people. There you go. Now, I said it was simple, but simple's not easy. In fact, simple's the hardest thing in the world to get to. And I believe that part of the reason of that is that in our fallen state, what we gravitate towards, thinking it's progress, thinking that it's bigger, it's better, it's all this, we actually gravitate towards complexity. And think about it. What was God's plan to redeem all of humanity from the big, huge mess that we made? A baby, born of a virgin that nobody knew, lying in a manger. No grand entrance. He just came in and he started loving people one by one by one by one, and then 12. And he loved them. And he poured himself into them. And for 3 years, he loved them and loved them and loved them and taught them everything he knew about the Father, and until they were bursting to know the Father. And then he said, I give you a new commandment. Love each other the way I love you. And that was like his last orders. Now go make disciples. How? Go love them. Go love them. Love them like I loved you. And that's how I made you disciples, because I picked you when nobody else did. When you had been rejected by the system. That you felt like your future was set because you couldn't make the grade, and you desperately wanted to be a rabbi's disciple, and nobody would accept you. But I not only accepted you, I chose you. You remember what Jesus said to him? He said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. You know what he was reminding them of? What they were supposed to go and do to others. You see, because the system and religion, it wants you to live up to a grade, a standard that God never set for you. And it becomes oppressive, and it becomes slavery. And that baby, born of a virgin that nobody knew in a town that nobody really cared about, on a night they couldn't even find a room. Yeah, he was God's plan to bring us back to him. Simple. But simple's not easy. But neither is anything that's of great value. And there's nothing in this world that is of greater value than to be loved and to love. And yet, it seems to be the hardest thing to do, to shed all the things that keep us from doing that on greater levels and doing it uninhibited. And when we looked at a passage in Galatians where Paul said that the very things that God wants of us, the life that he desires, not just of us, but for us, that a life that's filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, is we can't do it. And he's like, okay, that's all right. I love you. And so even though you've tried to do it, and even in your attempts, you've made it a bigger mess, I'm going to come and I'm going to clean that up. I'm going to forgive you of all that. I'm not going to hold it against you. And not only that, but I know that there's no way that you can, in and of yourself, by yourself, live the life that I have for you. No, you can't do it. As hard as you try, with all your good intentions, you can't do it, but that's okay. That's why you have my Holy Spirit. And if you understand why he is there, listen to him, and he will lead you to the very things that you want, but you can't find for yourself. And you see, they're simple. But simple's not easy. And it almost seems to be evasive. But that's okay, because Jesus said, I'm not leaving you as orphans. No, I'm sending my Spirit, and he's only going to tell you what I tell him to tell you. And so it's not some mystery, a ghost that we have to have a relationship with. No, it's the very presence of Christ himself. And we have Jesus right with us all the time. And you know what he wants to tell us every day, 24/7? That he loves us. That's why he died for us. It's why he gave us his Holy Spirit, because he said that his Spirit was going to remind us of everything that he had told us. And don't we need that reminder? I mean, because we forget so quickly. We become overrun by our faults and our failures. And it becomes so easy to talk ourselves into that. Now, he doesn't love me like he loves somebody else. He doesn't mean all of that for me. He doesn't mean the full inheritances for me. Stop. Yes, he did. Because listen, somebody doesn't just give their life for you and not give you everything that their life is. It's a beautiful gift that we have, the Holy Spirit. And it's a beautiful opportunity and responsibility that we have to not only have his Spirit live in us and to feel the enwrapping of his love for us and his joy for us. But what an amazing thing that he actually says, you know what, I think you can be just like me. It's why I called you. It's why I want you to be my disciple. Because when we understand what a disciple is, a disciple is somebody who has devoted themselves, their lives, every part of their life, to being like their rabbi, their master. And you see, in the rabbinical system of the times, the Jewish system, a rabbi did not choose a disciple that he did not feel that could become like him. You see, that would be foolish, wouldn't it? If you took on somebody who couldn't live up to your standards, who couldn't take on your teaching and your name and make good of it. You see, but that's why Jesus said, listen, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And I think he tells us that, and he wants to tell us that again and again. And tonight, I believe God's Spirit wants us to hear. You didn't choose him. He chose you. So stop trying to live up to what you feel you need to do to stay in his good grace, because you can't, and it doesn't matter, because he chose you. You didn't choose him. You accepted his gift and his offer. And now we need to understand what comes with it. The opportunity to be like him. To do the things that he did. To see people's lives freed and liberated and reconciled. And restored, not just to God, but to each other. You see, because God, at heart, he's a reconciler. He can't be in the presence of broken things and not desire to fix those, to put them back together. And you see, as his children, as his redeemed, as the one who take his son's name, yeah, that should be our very heart as well, to do the will and the heart of the one who redeemed us. And so he says, not only is the Holy Spirit there to lead us to truth, but the Holy Spirit is there to lead us to leading others to that same truth. Well, I don't know enough. I mean, I can't memorize a Bible verse to save my life. And you know, I don't know the Romans road, and you got a track I can go through. No, you see, that's complex. Do you know what the plan is? To love them. But not like we love them, like Jesus would love them. You see, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit, because, see, even when I try to love somebody, I guarantee you I'm going to find a way to mess it up. Because my flesh eventually is going to say, you know what, this is too costly. You know, this love thing, you know what, I don't have enough to keep loving people. You're right. That's why Paul said that the Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your lives, not us. Yeah, now, I know that might be confusing, but why, if you could just for a moment set aside the confusion that might give you, and think about for a moment how liberating that is. Because in essence, if we understand that we've got the power that raised Jesus from the dead living inside of us, and can do whatever he chooses to do through us and give us the power to accomplish it. The words that we need, the desire that we need, the thoughts that we need that point us to the actions he wants us to take. Even empower us with supernatural power. And maybe if we just love people, maybe we'd see them healed. Physically. You know, have you ever read the book of Acts? There's some crazy stuff that went down when the disciples received the Holy Spirit into their lives and married it with what Jesus had showed them. And you see, I think that is the very thing that God wants for all of his children, not just 12. For all of his children. But the first thing that we have to do, as I said last week, is we've got to let him start producing it in us. And then we've got to go find people to pick the fruit. And so how do we do that? How do we begin to approach it? And how do we step away from the complexity that we tend to gravitate towards? How do we get to the simplicity of how it sounds when Jesus says, all right, here's your new commandment. Love each other. All right, that's it. Anything else? No, except love them like I loved you. Okay, well, how did Jesus love us? He said, no greater love has anyone than to lay down his life for his friend. Oh, wait a minute. No. Okay. Jesus didn't mean that, did he? Yep. You see, but there's more than one way than to just die for somebody, to lay your life down. And you see, this is where we need the Holy Spirit. This is where we need the power of God in us, because you see, we can lay our lives down every day for somebody. And you know how you do it? You choose to think of them first before you think of yourself. See, that's love. It's true love. That's the example that Jesus set for us. And Paul says that Jesus, being God, did not believe that having that right was something to hold on to. And he humbled himself. And he laid down his rights as God. And it says that not only did he just lay down his rights, he humbled himself to the point that he went to the cross. And it says this, for the joy that was set before him. You know what that means? He didn't do it begrudgingly. He didn't do it with, if I have to. He knew that this was his chance to be involved in the work of his Father. And this was the desire of his Father. And he loved his Father so much he'd do anything for his Father. And it was a joy to lay down his life for us. And even though he knew that there were those who were going to reject what he did, it didn't stop him. It didn't deter him. Why? Because, see, his reward didn't come from us. It came from his Father. And he loved us. But it's not easy, because remember, he was still a human being. And that night he went into the garden and he prayed and he said, Father, if there's any other way that this can be accomplished, please, please let this cup pass from. See, because love is simple. But it's not easy. See, but then the Holy Spirit fills Jesus, and through the anguish and through the fear of the suffering that was, he knew he was going to go through, the Spirit fills him with the love of his Father, and he says, but not my will. Yours be done. Then he gets up from there and he walks down to his disciples who had fallen asleep. They came and they arrested him. And he loved the Father all the way to the cross. As the Father loved us, as he sacrificed his Son. And he turns and he says, now here, this is it. You don't know yet, but I'm going to take it up a couple of notches when I say love each other as you love me. Love is simple, but it's not easy. And the reason that it's not easy is because true love can cost you everything. But the rewards that can come when you choose to lay down your life, to love somebody else, even when they don't deserve it. Because remember, we didn't. You see, but our reward, you see, we've got to have the Holy Spirit to remind us. Our reward is not here. Our reward is not in the response of that person, because, you see, there's no guarantee that when we choose to love them the way Jesus loved us, that they're going to accept it, or it's going to be reciprocated, or they even understand it. No, you see, our reward is when we stand before Jesus on that day and he says, well done. I just believe that in that moment, we're going to really understand what it means to be loved. And I can't wait. I can't wait for that day to stand before Jesus. And you know what? It wasn't always that way. In fact, if I tell you the truth, I used to dread that. I used to fear that moment standing in front of Jesus because I know me. I know the times that I choose not to love. I know the times that not only is it not choosing not to love, I know when I am in just absolute rebellion to what God wants. And I have the ability still to look at him and go, I don't care. I want what I want right now. And I know me. And because I know me, but I didn't understand the love of the Father, I feared standing. You know, I feared my whole life being reviewed in that moment. I feared it because I know me. But he knows me better than I even know me. And he loves me. And not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did. I will stand uncondemned before Jesus, and he can say, well done. Yeah, that's worth. But even before then, do we understand that we can live in that right now? And there is a reward here on this earth, and that's going and choosing, despite what is going to come back at us, to love other people the way we know that we are loved by Jesus. Just by the chance that light enough comes into their lives to be able to see by the presence of the Father that we bring into their lives, the reality that they don't have to stay where they are. They don't have to be broken like they are. They don't have to be in darkness because Jesus died for them too. And they don't have to fear standing in front of him and being condemned because he died for them. They just have to accept the gift, and we get the opportunity of bringing it. It's not ours. It's been given to us. And I said last week is we have to understand the nature of the fruits of the Spirit, the gift that he gives us of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see, we cannot understand the depth of the gift that we have been given through the Holy Spirit until we give it to somebody else. It's how it works. It's the very design of creation in the first place for all of us to take care of each other and nobody has any needs. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But it's not easy. But we have to pursue it. I mean, if you've got a treasure map and you're convinced it leads to great wealth, aren't you a fool if you just leave it on the shelf? And what do we believe about the gifts of God's Spirit that he gives us? What do we believe about his presence living in us? I mean, is it really the God who created us? Is it really the God who created everything that we can see and the stuff we haven't seen yet? You know, even as smart as we get and all the stuff we have to go look at God's creation, we haven't come to the end of anything yet, have we? It keeps getting bigger and it keeps getting smaller, all at the same time. It's what you get when you have a creator that's infinite. He could create an infinite creation. So what do we believe about love? What do we believe about joy and peace? Well, if we believe it's a checklist of how to be a good Christian, it's a really small God. But if we believe that that is a gift that he wants to give us every day of our lives, every moment of our lives, that's not something for us to go do. It's something for us to go pursue. Running out in faith, believing that if we choose to be patient with somebody, even when I don't want to, that he's going to do something miraculous. And maybe the miracle is not in them, but maybe the miracle's in us. 9 times out of 10. Listen, the greatest mountains that our faith moves is our pride. And it's not our faith, is it? What does the scripture say about our faith? It's been given to us by... we don't own anything. But our Father does. And it's ours to enjoy and to experience and to live and to make use of. But not if it's for our own selfish desires. Because that's not how the gifts work. That's not how the kingdom works. That's not how our Father works. So let's look at this verse in Galatians chapter 5. It says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And we've determined that what Paul meant by there's no law against these things, it means put the gas pedal down. There's no speed limit on these. You can love as much as you want. And you don't have to stop. Yeah, no tickets, Hoss. Yeah. That there's other things in God's kingdom, that there's context, and we have to keep it within it, like the speed limit. But these things, no. And so we don't need to feel guilty about loving people because God loves them. We don't have to feel guilty about being joyful when others are like, this is not a time to be joyful. And it's like, I can't help myself. The Spirit's doing it. I don't understand. Or, you know, I don't know where this peace is coming from. That's why it's called the peace that passes understanding. Right? It's not God's peace if we understand where it came from, if I understand this correctly. Why do we need supernatural peace if we can produce it on our own? No, it's those times when we're going, you know what, this is not like me. See, that's a gift. You see, but you want to up the gift, you want to see it even grow, then turn to somebody else and say, you know what, I know you don't understand, but if you trust God in this, you can be peaceful like this right now. I don't know exactly how it all works, what he's doing, you know, what buttons he's pushing in me or this or that, but he said he could do it for you, and he's doing it in me. And then what happens, I mean, you watch them and you pray over them, you ask for the peace that comes from God's Spirit that passes all understanding, and you watch the peace come over them. I mean, how crazy is that to know that it's not anything that you're doing, but it's this God who is invisible, but he's incredible, he's indescribable, and we're watching him cover somebody in his peace. I get goosebumps when I pray for somebody, and God does what he promised he would do. The hair stands up on the back of my neck, and I get a charge. It's like there's electricity. Well, yeah, you know, God created electricity too. And he wants us to know that he's there, that it's real. And you know what else he wants to know? He's going, well done. Well done. I'm proud. proud of you. You're getting it. Isn't this great? Keep it up. There's so much more. You see, but we have to understand something, that all of this, the gentleness, the self-control, the joy, everything, do you know where it flows from? I mean, yes, it flows from God, but it starts with love. Why? Because God is love. Why? Because for me to bring peace into somebody's life that I feel really uncomfortable because of the circumstances that they're going through, and I don't even know the words to say, but you know what? They need peace. And you know, I've got the peace of the Holy Spirit that never runs out, that God, he's infinite. I have infinite peace in me, and they need it. But I feel weird. I don't even know what to say, but okay, God, I'm going to trust you. You said you'd be with me. You said that you would guide me. You said that you would give me the word. So here goes. You see, and that comes from someplace. You see, it's not just our desire for somebody to have peace. It's when we begin to love somebody and we are compelled to bring the peace of God because they need it. And that's what we feel like when we love somebody, is we feel like we have to do whatever it takes to get them what they need. You see, but that's not our flesh. That's not what it chooses. Our flesh goes, you know what? You know, I don't want to say anything wrong. I don't want to make an uncomfortable situation even more uncomfortable. You know, I'll just mess it up. Yeah, you will if you do it on your own power. But if you trust God that this is what God does, and he says that the power that changes the world is his love. See, we don't have to fear. See, because there's no law. There's no rules against going and loving somebody. And we have no idea. We may go in there and we just go, okay, God, I'm just going to love this person. They need your peace. And we pray for peace, and all of a sudden, joy comes with it. Why? Because it comes with God and his presence, right? And they feel loved, and they feel secure, and they feel protected. Why? Because we said all the right things? Probably not. It's because the grace of God, as he's so proud of us, when we go love somebody like Jesus loved us, he made up for all the stuff that we messed up. See, we don't have to fear loving. We have to believe that is what God wants us to do, and that he's going to be there with us. And not only is he going to be there with us, he's going to bring his power, his presence, and we do what we can do, and then he does what only he can do. Are you hearing the freedom? Are you hearing that this isn't something that you should just be demanded to do, but that when we believe that this is what God wants to do, not only in us, but in those around us, that we'll begin to become compelled to do these things? We'll become compelled to love people? You know, a few months ago, my wife Kara, we had been talking about the Holy Spirit and this relationship with him. And to be quite honest, and she'd be okay with me saying this, she was frustrated. In fact, she was angry because it was confusing to her. She would read the scripture and not understand everything about it. And you see, part of the reason is she's a math major, okay? And everything for her is, okay, you've got to have the A and find the A, and then A plus B, what's the B? Find the B, and then that equals C. And it's got to have that. And you see, God doesn't always work that way with us, because it's not about formula, it's about relationship. It's not about process, it's about love. And you can't process love, you have to do it. You have to be it. It has to become who we are. See, Jesus didn't come and just follow a formula that the Father had given. He came and lived out the Father's heart. And every moment, all those times in the scripture, it says he went out into the wilderness and he prayed. Do you know what I think he was doing? He was getting instruction. He was getting direction. Just like we can do it. And he come back and he told the disciples, hey, we got to leave here and we got to go there. And they're going, but there's all this work to do here. And he said, but the Father wants us to go over here and love these people. And we don't have to worry about the work. We have to listen to the Spirit and to the Father. And then miraculous things begin to happen. Church, what would happen to our church if just each of us decided that we were going to go and find one person every week that we were going to try to love like Jesus loved? Okay, whatever you're thinking right now, too small. And now what you're thinking, still too small. Why? Because we cannot think like God. We have no idea the ripples that would be caused if each week we just decided, each one of us, just one person in 7 days, just one, that we were going to go and we were going to ask the Father how to love that person like he would do it. Like Jesus would do it. You know why we don't see things like that? Because we don't believe the gift that we have in the Holy Spirit. And we keep trying to make it more complex, and we keep trying to make it harder, and we keep trying to figure it out, and we just have to stop. You see, because then he gave us another instruction that really we could probably understand. Is he not only said, love each other like I've loved you, but he said that the second greatest commandment, which is like the first, which the first is to love God with all your heart and soul and mind. The second is to love your neighbor. Now, that wasn't all of it, wasn't it? Love your neighbor, what? So if you want to figure out how to love that person every week, what would you do for you if you were in the same situation? But be careful, especially if you're trying to apply that with your spouse. Because we start to, oh, yeah, my spouse, I'm going to love my spouse like I love me. Yeah, bad, bad idea. See, because we're really too close in that situation, and our flesh can take over really fast. But no, I'm talking about people that we don't even know. I'm talking about people that we're not that close to. And don't get me wrong, we're going to talk about the people that are really close to us, but that takes, in my estimation, a whole other measure and dose of the control of the Holy Spirit. Because, and if you wonder why, because who are the people that we treat the worst? The people that we should be loving the most. So, to love our neighbor as ourselves, I actually think we need to turn to the Holy Spirit and say, so to what level do I love myself? And he's like, how long you got? Because this is going to take a while. Because there's not a way that you don't love yourself. There's not anything that you wouldn't do to make sure that you have your security or your contentment or your comfort. You'd even sell out another human being. You see, we need a transformation, not just an education when it comes to that. We need the new man, not the old man. We need God's thinking, not our thinking. And that's why to be truly spiritual, it means that we have given control over to the Holy Spirit. It's not how much spiritual stuff, knowledge that we have. It's how much we have surrendered ourselves to the control of the Spirit. Because remember, Paul says that our flesh and our fleshly desires are actually at war with the Spirit. And whatever the Spirit wants, our desires want the opposite. And so even to love one person a week, we can't do it on our own. To love one person a week the way Jesus loved them. Do you know what we need to do? We need to bathe ourselves in how Jesus loves us. And we can't do that in 1 hour on a Sunday. It's got to be a pursuit every moment of our lives to rewire our thinking. And what do I spend all my time doing? And finding out that most of the time I'm doing what I want to do or what I think needs to be done. And we need to exchange that. Even in the times that we're doing what we need to be doing, we can do it differently when we ask God what he wants us to do in that time. And I'm talking about our jobs. I'm talking about our time with our friends. I'm talking about our time in our homes. Do you understand that we don't even scratch the surface in bringing God's love into those situations? But what could happen if we chose just one person every week? What kind of revolution would happen? What kind of revival would happen if we could just learn from God's Holy Spirit how to love one person in 7 days the way Jesus loves us? You see, I think it's like this, You ever thrown a rock into a still pond? And when it hits the water and it breaks that surface, what happens? Ripples start to emulate out from that spot. And you know what's really interesting about that is if you understand what is really happening, you know what that rock is doing as it passes through that surface, that very surface of the water, it's breaking the tension. I just thought that was interesting because I was thinking about, love, that's just that one person a week. What if it's just one person a week? I decided that I had this one love rock. And I was going, okay, God, what pond am I throwing this in? And, I thought about, throwing whatever it is that love, okay, God, you want me to do what? And you're going, you don't really want me to do that. And, I'm really bad with words. What's being created right now? Tension. right? And how often we do that, and when we take that step and find out that we all that tension wasn't real, we created it. And then on top of that, we bring the fact that we're not going to go love this person in our power. We're just bringing the love of Jesus and God's presence into a situation, and all we have to do is cast the rock and break the tension. And again, I mean, the rock goes down into the pond. Do you know what happens to the rock besides the fact that it goes to the bottom? Do you know where it lands? Did it land on its side? Did it land face up, face down? Which side is face up, face down on a rock? You have no idea, do you? But what do you see? The results of that broken tension. But here's the thing is, did you ever follow all those ripples all the way out to their conclusion, to their end? No, you don't. Do you know why? You can't. And you see, we can't understand the power of one act of love powered by the Spirit of God. We cannot understand what God will choose to do with. Now, I think one of the things that we may find when we do get to heaven is that we begin to meet people. And we're like, do I know you? And we don't, but then the Spirit of God is making these connections of, well, no, you don't, but you know, that one week, you know, remember your pastor, he gave you the challenge to go out there and find just one person to love like Jesus loved? Well, you did that one week, and I was one of the ripples. You had no idea. You know, and maybe they're about to end their marriage. Maybe they just lost their job and all their hope. Maybe they are just bound in addictions that they've been bound in for years. Maybe they were going to even take their life. No idea. See, but God does, and he's just like, you don't have to understand. You can't understand what I'm going to do with this. Just do it. And you see, when we understand what we have in the Spirit of God, you see, we become less concerned with what God is going to do with it, and we become more concerned about pleasing our Father who loves us enough to give us His Spirit, to give us the gifts of His Spirit. And you see, we don't fear giving the gift away because it never runs out. It's not like we only have one rock a week. You see, I throw the rock, I turn around, oh, look. There's more. He's like, yeah, keep throwing. And we throw one more rock and another rock. And I'm like, God, my arm is sore. He's like, there's more. Keep it up. I'll keep it. Remember, I sent people holding Moses' arms up. The day didn't end. Remember? That's a long time. Have you seen what I've created? Have you seen my power? Have you seen what I've spoken into existence? Just keep throwing rocks. I'm so proud of you. I love you. Here's another rock. What can you hit with this one? Okay, don't go throw rocks at people. What would happen? What would happen if we take up this challenge? What would happen if we took up the challenge and we just decided that we're going to believe God and that He's given us a whole lot more than one rock a week? What would happen in our homes, in our family, if we decided to lay down the rocks that we're throwing at each other and accusation and anger and bitterness, and we decided to break the tension. But choosing to love those who are closest to us, the way Jesus loves us, and he's so close to us, he's living inside of us, and he's going, just please put down that rock and pick up my rock. You won't be sorry. You know, I know you don't understand, and I know that maybe you have years of tension in your home, you have years of tension in your marriage, you have years of tension with your kids, you have years of tension with somebody that you lost a relationship with. You have years of tension in believing that I'm good. Just throw the rock. See what I'm capable of. And so tonight, as we finish up, and Robin, have you guys come up? See, there's a process of us receiving as that gift of the love of Jesus. And you see, it's not just a one-time process. And the reason is that we, as I said earlier, we can tend to take the gifts of God and we can put them up on a shelf like a trophy. Maybe every once in a while we take it off and we dust it, but then there's moments like these where he comes in and he convicts us and says, that wasn't what it was for. You know, my gifts are too good to just put on a shelf. You can't really experience it until you give it away. And so maybe you're here tonight, and where you need to start is you need, for the first time, to accept the gift of love and forgiveness that Jesus purchased for you on the cross, and you need to step into that relationship. Robin said it earlier, tonight's the night. Don't wait. You don't need to understand it. Oh, it will come. You'll understand it more. No, you need to accept it. Believe that you have a creator that loves you and forgives you and wants to adopt you into his family. But maybe you are hearing, you know, this idea that we have these things, you know, love and joy and peace, and you're going, man, you know, not only am I not giving away, I'm not experiencing it myself, am I? And that's usually because we've stopped believing God somewhere. We've stopped believing that that's what he wants for us. We stopped believing that it can happen in miraculous times. And maybe we started to try to generate that in our own lives. And we found ourselves not in the freedom that Christ purchased us, but we're back into slavery under the law because we've believed, again, it has to do with our actions and not Jesus's. And you need to take the gift off the shelf again. Let him restore the joy of your salvation. Robin was right. Tonight's the night. And maybe you have experienced it for yourself, but you know that you've really, that's it. You've experienced it for yourself, and there's all kinds of reasons why you've not followed through on the promptings of the Holy Spirit to go love people the way that Jesus loved them. And you're feeling convicted tonight, and you want to take care of that. You know, it's beautiful. God's salvation, it's not a one-time deal. He's always saving us from ourselves. And he says, you know what? It's easy. Just come ask me for forgiveness. And guess what? Done. And tomorrow we've got the chance again to go out there and throw some rocks. Come on, let's do it. Stop feeling guilty. Stop pounding on yourself. That's the law. You're not under it anymore. Christ has set you free. Now stay there. And Robin's right. Tonight's the night. And as we sing this final song, as we leave worshiping the fact that we have a Father who loves us so much, and we don't understand it, we don't even begin to grasp it, but you know what? We can enjoy it. We can love being loved by the Father, and we can love the idea that tomorrow's mercies are new, and we can love the idea that I can just go throw love at people and it never runs out. I just have to go back to the one who supplies it. And we can worship because we got it all figured out, because we're perfect. No, we worship because we're not, and he still loves us. We don't, and he wants to lead us. So as we close tonight, as we worship, now I have an application guide for you this week. And if you wonder what that is, I've been supplying ways that we can take what we're learning tonight and step out into life. Because remember, our Sunday best isn't just here. It's on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And if we're not applying this, the gift's on the shelf. But the application guide is, I've got a rock for you. And it's God's love. And it's given to you so that you can go and find who he wants you to give it to. So as we worship, come on up and get your gift. And understand that, you know, Kara collected these from a beach in Whidbey Island. And there was a lot of rocks. So if we run out, there's a lot more. And God created rocks. I am sure he can get us some more. And he created love. Yeah, I don't know. There might be somebody who God's putting you in their sights. But come up and get your rock. And if you need prayer tonight, because you're just really struggling with the fact that God really does love you that much, maybe you're fearing standing in front of him someday because you know you. Would you come up and just let me pray for you? Because he wants you to know how much he loves you. And that he's proud of you. And that feeling that you have, that's not what he wants for you. He has so much more for you. And I just love to be able to pray for you. Just go ahead.